Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andyscrolls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andyscrolls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other, and now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndyScrolls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndyScrolls for 15% off today. Guys, it's Andy's Girls. It is episode 5, 7, or 8, I think. Oh my God, it might not even be the sevens. I don't know. It's episode something. I'll find out when I write the show notes for this episode. And the time has come. My Dubai journey has officially begun. Now, I have talked about the reasons why I was not planning to watch and also my interest in starting that journey on prior AG episodes. I'm not going to get into all of it on this because I just don't feel like I really want to get into, wade into some of the darkness there. But suffice it to say, I am not a boycott gal. There have been times where I have melted down over episodes. Certainly Black Shabbat is something that will unfortunately stay with me forever. And moments where I just have chosen, limited moments, honestly, where I've chosen not to watch specific seasons. Honestly, until this most recent season of Dubai, the only season that I can recall not watching and talking about on AG while it was then airing was the lost season of Orange County. And it wasn't the COVID season, the season that led to Kelly Dodd's firing because of her antics, mostly off camera, although certainly not all, because I didn't watch because I found myself just too infuriated by kind of the commentary and dialogue around Kelly off camera that I think it would have been a distraction. And I just didn't want to be sort of weighed down with just really kind of heavy, dark energy in that way. And also, I heard it was a shit season. So I wasn't feeling the need to watch, but I don't participate in boycotts. I'm not someone that says, like, don't do this, don't watch that, because I always feel that, you know, there's so many difficult things happening in the world and in our own personal lives. And if you find any value or escape in watching shows, regardless of who's on it, regardless of what it's about, I fully support that. I mean, it, as many of you know, I'm staunchly against the idea of a guilty pleasure because there's something invalidating or punitive about the joy that a lot of us and value that a lot of us find in having conversations about Bravo and Housewives. I then did most recently catch up and finally watch that COVID season in advance of the current season of Orange County. I just kind of felt like this is the time I want to do this. And because there was so much happening and has been so much happening with Shan and John, it was a good opportunity to catch up to what everybody else has already seen, especially because unfortunately for all of us, John Big Dick Energy, minus probably the Big Dick, has been such a talking point during the season of OC. So when it came to this most recent season of Dubai, the ongoing one, I just kind of felt like, you know what? I don't think this is going to be good for anyone if I watch this right now, because I'm one of the few Jewish content creators in the Bravo universe, in the Bravo podcasting space, and was honestly really and truly horrified by fake Dr. Sarah, who has a medical degree akin to any day player on Grey's Anatomy. So Grey's Anatomy style, Dr. Sarah, has said some horrifying things on social media from the day of 10-7 onward, as has Caroline Brooks. And to see people who are hired by Bravo talking about Jews running the banks and owning the media, first off, AG would be in the top 10 if that was the case. And also, I wouldn't need a Patreon. So I just found myself really frustrated and rage-filled about their kind of interest in pursuing some incredibly disturbing, vile, anti-Semitic ideas on their social media, and God only knows what they're doing IRL. And so I just kind of felt like, why would I want to amplify these people who I find detestable as like actual humans? And if there's one thing that I've potentially covered over the course of the 17,000 hours and 19 million episodes of AG, it's the idea that I am not really into dehumanization. It's not something that I love. And if that makes me, at this point, I don't even know what the word to use is by speaking out against dehumanization in any way, then the idea of amplifying these women sort of drove me up a fucking wall. And then I don't know what changed in my mind. I think it was hearing from people that they've both been having flop seasons. And it really hadn't occurred to me until I'd heard from people who had also said that the season of Dubai is at least decent. I've heard it's solid. I've heard it's good. I've heard it's there's like genuine moments of conversation that are interesting. And that obviously piqued my curiosity and my interest. But also to hear that they're flailing, I was like, well, wait a second. I was only thinking about amplifying these ladies. You're telling me that they're doing a bad job? Well, why would I turn down that opportunity? So that, and I think the end of New Jersey, the abrupt end of New Jersey, obviously Orange County is killing the game. We have, as of the last week, we know that we know that New York is soon upon us, October 1st. The Salt Lake City season that looks fucking incredible is going to be premiering in September, weeks before New York. So we're setting ourselves up for an incredible fall with Orange County continuing, New York premiering, and Salt Lake City premiering even prior. And so with those fabulous, iconic, historic events on the horizon, I just kind of felt like, you know what, I'm actually kind of interested in seeing what is going on with Dubai. And so I just kind of said to myself, you know what? Let's give this a go. Let's see what's going on here. So I just watched the premiere episode. And I have to say, I realized while watching the premiere episode, I really genuinely think I've forgotten 90% of what happened last season. Because last season, season one was, I swear to you, it premiered in 2007. It was so fucking long ago that it was hard for me to really truly remember some of the connective threads, like Lisa Milan fighting with Caroline Stanberry. I was like, what were they fighting over? And then thank God for the clips of the reunion, because I really didn't remember a lot of the details. So I was appreciative for some of those throwbacks, but I also liked the new introduction of relationships. And I could certainly see in watching season one why people are enjoying this season, because obviously, the money seems to be abundant, or at least the vision of rich, which is different from wealth. I think there are some people on this show who flaunt maybe the perception of rich, and maybe a couple who might have actual wealth. But there's something to be said for that. And also, if you like kind of the glitz and glam of Beverly Hills, Dubai is on an entirely different It's just an entirely different stratosphere. It's like every day, to some extent, is at an 11. And so I'm watching the premiere episode, and I kind of thought to myself, so Ion broke out last season. She broke out last season. She was incredible at BravoCon. She was certainly the people's choice from the cast. I think that there were some people in the audience, I'm sure myself included, who had a little bit of a misconception, a little bit of Caroline Stanberry, of maybe the reasons that we loved her on Ladies of London. Like, she kind of had a little bit of an over it, but also even ever so slightly underdog status within the cast. And yes, was she kind of elitist and sarcastic to the point of hurtful and whatever else? Sure. But I think that when Dubai premiered, there was a hope from the audience, or an expectation, that she would just be the breakout star, America's sweetheart. And that, to me, is not the best fit for Caroline Stanberry. Like, I think she's best in an ensemble. She kind of, you know, connects in certain moments, but she's not necessarily great under pressure and should not be the one who has to carry a franchise. So when I'm watching the premiere episode, I just kind of felt like this is actually nice, because we can see some tension toward the tail end of the episode with Stanberry and Talene, although I actually think they resolved it very well. Like, I wasn't sure if we were going into a PK Erica Jane territory of like, I could see under your skirt, I'm making really lewd, crude, sexualized jokes of this, and we're going to carry it out for 17 episodes. That's not what I'm getting. I felt like Stanberry wanted to sort of extinguish it relatively quickly. Talene had a great sense of humor, which I really appreciated. And it just felt like there was more of a connection here, where these women are actually engaged with each other in a way that felt better than what we watched last season. Because last season, What I do remember is like a great premiere episode. I remember loving the premiere episode. I thought it was so well edited, so well cut. I love the confessionals where we could, like, God forbid, see the women's shoes, where it's like a full look. And obviously saw all the opulence, but it was just this introduction that felt absolutely escapist in the best possible way. And then I think through the course of the season, it kind of floundered. From what I've heard about season two, it appears that some of these threads are really connecting even better than they did before. And I think a part of that is maybe not necessarily a trust between members of the cast, but more of a comfort. They've already had this lived experience. They've already gone through it. The power structure has changed a little bit. Caroline Stanberry came into the show with a bajillion dollars seemingly, but also the Bravo history and experience of being a breakout star on Ladies of London. She had that power with her, which, you know, she has other assets, obviously money and seemingly connections that she has in her life, whatever else. But also the asset within the Bravo universe is, to me, priceless when it comes to, like, name recognition, fandom. You know, we've kind of been looking for her to join Beverly Hills for how many years has that conversation been going on since Ladies of London was canceled? I would assume even prior. I mean, that feels like, honestly, forever ago. But there's something about seeing a little bit of an evening taking place, if that makes any sense, a little bit of an equalization where now we know these women. Now audience members have developed an opinion. It might be one that said cast member hates if you've been in hot water, but we know who you are now. And I think that takes out some of the hot air in the room, which I like. But the flip side of that is now we have the introduction of "You talk shit about me on the show, and I've seen episodes. You talk shit about me at the reunion. I was present for that." Cut to a flashback. "You had a conversation with Page Six and said really shitty things. And maybe I talked about, maybe I talked with you about it at the time or didn't and pretended everything was fine. But now cameras are up and we're going to talk about it." And that to me is interesting. It adds layers, but you don't want to go from 0 to 100 with this, where the focus is on completely popping the bubble of being inside Housewives of Dubai and saying, we need to talk about the celebrity factor here and press. That's, if you go straight into that with nothing else, that is, to me, cause for extreme concern. But from the one episode that I've seen so far, many more to go, it feels like there's a way that they're finding how to straddle the universe, which is positive. And some of that, honestly, is just like their internal shit talk. Is Caroline Stanberry, what were you saying about Talene? Like, Caroline Brooks, you're saying stuff about Caroline Stanberry, about an annoyance with her calling you every day that it appears you have not said to her until this point when cameras are up. That to me is interesting and quote unquote organic tension. Because how much of this is organic? I don't really know. It is in fact a balancing act. So there was stuff that was happening that feels like, I mean this as a compliment. I'm not trying to be like derogatory, feels like formulaic Housewives in a way of like, okay, we got it. Now you guys are celebrities. Now, I mean, you know, niche. Now you have your, you know, the viewership isn't huge. Okay. their numbers aren't super high. And I don't even follow that. And I know it's kind of giving a little bit of a flop, but artistically, there's still value to be found. And so there's something to be said here for, you know, having some people on the show who obviously we recognize and some new faces, but seeing that there's like some good, I thought there was some good chemistry in that group dynamic. I think Ayan obviously is going to be at the core of some of the conflict this season. And the difficulty for me with Ayan is I feel like she's backed herself into a little bit of a corner here with the looks, because she got so much understandable praise for like all of her outfits and all of her moments. But it feels like now she's in a little bit of a universe in which she might be just a little bit trapped of like needing to look like you dress to excess, But to me, there's a difference between doing that in confessionals where you can really, really fully peacock, have a fabulous moment, and these group dynamics and group scenes where how much of the conversation is going to be about you in 10-foot platform heels, trying not to break your ankles, walking on sand to get to a, what was it? It was like, temperatures are going down. I've literally already forgotten. I just watched the episode 2 seconds ago. So I'm like, temperatures are going down, maybe. I forget. Ladies brunch, I think. Apologies. I've truly already forgotten the name of the brunch. That's wild. But I feel like she, understandably so, it's like easily identifiable to be the person who is supplying these wild moments. But then I think so much of the attention is going on the outfit. It's easy to kind of get lost in that, to feel like she's always going to be over the top. But we know from her story, from what we've shared, from what she's shared and what we have learned of her life, that she's a very nuanced, complicated, vulnerable person. And it's important to talk about her story and listen to her story. But it's also kind of difficult because I don't know how she presents in her personal life. My guess is she's not wearing these very, very large outfits every single day. And I wish we could get more of a combination there where she didn't necessarily feel like she needed to do this, or maybe she wants to. Maybe she's just like, this is a great opportunity. She is a model. She's just thinking, this is my runway. Like, filming this show is my runway. I have the opportunity to maybe work with a bunch of different designers and show off and show up. Like, good for her for doing it. But I also think she does herself a little bit of a disservice because it becomes so much about the exterior that we might lose those moments of connection because maybe the conversation is about her dress, or maybe, you know, we're just kind of like skipping a little bit of the in-between. Because for everything that we love about Housewives and Escapism, I don't know about you, but I love when we see, and she, this just genuinely might not be her personality or the way of life in Dubai, but I love seeing Housewives like show up in leggings. Maybe they've dropped the kids off at school or whatever, and they're showing up to scream at each other over coffee or lunch. Like, I like to see that. I like to see a little bit of a mix. And I don't know if Ayan feels like she can do that because she set this standard. I would like to see her kind of mix it up a little bit more, but that just might be me thinking that she wants to do something that she genuinely might not. I also just think like the time to do that kind of glam every single second that you have a group event. This is also me, as I'm saying this out loud, I don't know that she does this every episode. That was just my perception based on what she was wearing this first episode. But maybe when I watch episode 2, I'm going to see a woman who's like truly in kind of like whatever her version of chill, comfortable attire might be. I don't know that I could see Ayan ever doing that. I just wish for her a little bit less pressure maybe on delivering that, if she's doing it to deliver moments for us, because there's so much about Ayan that I connected to. And if I'm remembering correctly, and again, memory is terrible about last season because it feels like it was 1700 years ago, but I feel like some of the stuff we found out about Ayan was toward the tail end of the season, I think, leading into the reunion. Why do I feel like that's the case? And so if so, it was a lot of info for people to absorb, and obviously really upsetting when she talked about what she went through as a child and FGM. And I just, there's a lot that she's bringing with her onto the first season, obviously upset toward fake Dr. Sarah. And I really appreciated her sharing that, like sharing her frustration and really honestly her hurt. And I just think, I just think 17,000 times, so I apologize. But I just kind of hope that she recognizes that we don't, or at least I don't as a viewer, need her to do this every single moment. That she does not need to treat herself as almost a little bit, as a model for us. That she does not need to treat every single time she's filming, that she doesn't feel like she has a responsibility to constantly step it up. She is enough as she is. a person. She is enough as a person. She does not need to do all of this extra stuff.
There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, it's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com.
You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is a glow. And now I'm thinking about The Wedding Planner. So, Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin: serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's Deluxe Kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with J-Lo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try J-Lo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that J-Lo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls. Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last, when it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other 2 top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other 2 top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number 1 premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S.,
Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation, it's not just water, it's Fiji water.
I mean, she can do a little extra. You know, these ladies are like showing up looking fabulous. But to be the be-all, end-all, A++++, I just think that's a lot. That's a lot for a person to take on, especially when she knows and has an understanding of what might be discussed over the course of the season. I feel like I kind of want to start with the ending first, which is, I mean, not really first. We've just begun this episode 13 seconds ago. The end of the episode to me was kind of fascinating. This conversation between fake Dr. Sarah and Ayan, and whether Sarah, it seems like what Sarah is telling us she was trying to say about Ayan was that sort of like hurt people hurt people. And Ayan's story being Ayan's experience in trauma was not to Sarah a quote unquote excuse for poor behavior. So I Googled the actual piece itself because I was honestly kind of confused and pulled up a Page Six article from August of 2022. And so this is the giving a little bit more context to this screenshot that was shown. Real Housewives of Dubai star Sarah Al-Madani feels co-star Chanel Ayan uses her past quote unquote traumas to excuse her bad behavior. On Wednesday's episode of the Bravo series, and again, this is from August of 2022, Ayan, who is of Somali and Ethiopian descent, revealed she was forced to undergo genital mutilation at the age of 5. She later called Al-Madani, who has an honorary doctorate degree in business administration, leadership, and women empowerment. I would rather call Shebai Dr. Sheree. Because Sheree has 2 honorary degrees. I would rather call Shebai Dr. Shebai than genuinely consider fake Dr. Sarah to be, I guess, a physician in her head. Anyway, she has an honorary doctorate degree from TJ Maxx, full of herself, after the latter said to the former, "It's never too late to be like me." The remark shocked the United Arab Emirates native, who told Us Weekly on Thursday that her statement was preceded by Ayan's off-camera compliment to the tune of, "I love the way you speak, and I wish I could be like you one day, but it's too late." Al-Madani, 36, told the outlet, "For her to take that story and victimize herself, I mean, we've all been through traumas in life, but that's not an excuse for us to treat people in any bad way or behave in any certain way. Because maturity is figuring out what your issues are and solving them and helping yourself," she went on. "It's not treating people badly and saying, hey, I've been traumatized." The single mother of one added that she feels she's crossed a river for the model 44, Cyber, who might be older than 44, TBD, whom she believes wouldn't even cross a puddle in return. "For Ayan, I was a shoulder for her to cry on. I was the person she called for advice. I've done so much for Ayan," Al-Madani said. "I was always by her side and I got her back. So I felt like we were building a friendship. And then when I watched the show, I was like, hold on, that's insane. I'm not preachy. You call me for advice. You have a demand and I supply you. Why don't I advise Nina, LOL, or Lisa on the show? It's because they never came up to me for advice. You did. Brooks did." So I don't know if anybody has any interest in that context, but I honestly felt the need to find it because obviously this whole "you called me a victim, victimized," the semantics here were important. But also when fake Dr. Sarah was talking to Ayan, and also honestly a little bit in this piece, the thing that really put me off about this response, 2 things. Number one, she should not be connecting in any way Ayan's story to what Sarah believes is her interest in being the center of attention. That to me is genuinely manipulative of Sarah. To suggest that this person, to connect a person's visceral, extraordinary trauma that is going to stay with her, that happened when she was 5 years old, that will stay with her for the rest of her fucking life, which she revealed on television, and as she said in the premiere, was hit with a lot of negative, toxic responses. Can you imagine that? What she has had to experience, first off, the internalized shame and then external shame coming her way of people essentially saying your worst possible fears of you feeling shame about yourself, I'm validating that. That's a lot of additional trauma for Ayaan to have to deal with. So for fucking fake doctor, business administration, honorary doctorate, Dr. Sarah, to say that this, to connect her story with she's doing this to be the center of attention, or this is her way to be the center of attention, is just, to me, totally fucked. I just hate it so much. And it always seems to come from that fucking gal who's all about wellness, meditation, from very specific people trying to like get into holistic remedies. But you're always like that type, always seems to be among the most toxic and reactive. You've just put it in a fun little box with like a TLC bow. But you know those people on Instagram who are like, you're a dumb cunt, like you're the worst, blah, 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 piece of shit. And they say that to housewives or podcasters, whomever else. If you go to those people's profiles, 9 times out of 10, it's like loving mom to like emoji of 2 emoji children plus dog plus like husband, beautiful biblical proverb, you know, Wikipedia link, and peace and love always helps. And that's the person who's like, I hope you die tomorrow. I'm driving you over with my car. There is to me something that's honestly so deeply funny of the seeming external presentation, at least in your Instagram bio, of like, I'm all about peace and love and kindness. And those are usually the people that were often the biggest bitches, which is fascinating because you're presenting this external idea when it comes to your public facing social media, but also your comments are public facing. So for Dr. Sarah, fake Dr. Sarah, to present that she is this like holistic wellness person, but also be so focused on saying, to me, just genuinely grotesque things about what Ayaan has experienced, regardless of how she feels about Ayaan. Genuinely, regardless of what she's trying to say, she should have, to me, taken a moment and genuinely apologized. I just thought, this woman is in pain. What is it going to cost you? Your ego, sure. And I get it. It's, the show is being filmed. You might not want to feel like you're losing this round, but what's the bigger picture here? And also, we just saw a guy pounding a drum or whatever over your head while you're talking about healing and like very complicated, abusive relationships that you've been in. And we're, I think many people watching that scene felt empathy for her and also questions about, you know, who this person is that's like leading the spiritual session she was in. So there's that. But where are we seeing that in the rest of your life? Some of these people who seemingly talk about their understanding of trauma and needing to work through their trauma, her ability to decide and criticize how she feels Ayaan is quote unquote using her own is to me very suspect. It's like, I don't even know, you know, because there's this whole idea of like of the way that wellness can sometimes become toxic, like the ways that like the wellness community can sometimes be toxic. And I think it's kind of the same for people who profess to have undying, unyielding empathy. Like I am always going to see the best in people. I always understand that people are complicated. Listen, the person saying that absolutely can be complicated. You don't need to love or empathize every person that you've ever met in your life. Sometimes our own experiences obviously have an impact in who we are going to allow ourselves to humanize. But also, this lady has decided that her storyline platform is like, I'm looking for real radical peace or whatever. It is fascinating to see how inconsistent that is, especially when she feels that she's wronged or when she feels like she's in a power position over somebody else. I don't know. I was kind of like, huh, that's kind of something to think about and reflect on as the season goes on. And I actually, so I heard that she's kind of a fuck, that Dr. Sarah is kind of a fuck up this season. That could be 100% wrong. I really don't, I don't have any context for it. So I'm not quite sure what's going to happen. But I also think you should be a little more judicious about how you reference someone else's story, regardless of whether or not it was shared on reality TV and is now public information. I mean, there's something to be said for saying we have all experienced trauma as a way to connect with people of what is your story, what is your experience, versus minimizing someone's trauma by saying, well, we've all gone through stuff. I mean, two different levels. Not everyone has gone, many, many people have not gone through what Ayan has, So maybe just a little bit more empathy, just a little bit more of a pause before you sort of seem to be dismissing or discounting what she has survived. That I was like, all right, it's enough. Like it's a lot. It's a lot of a little. You know what I'm saying? And I'm making maybe too much of it, but I also do not like Dr. Sarah. So there we go. And that's a little sidebar there. Also, I guess something happens. This has to be kind of interesting for people, or strange for people, rather, who are caught up on Dubai, because I'm just starting this journey. I am hoping to really radically catch up in the next several days. But I know that something happens in the breakdown with Ayan and Lisa's friendship, but I don't know what. I'm not sure if this is entirely because Ayan and Stanberry have become close, but I have to tell you, I really genuinely like their friendship. I don't know why. I kind of thought to myself, like, is this just going to feel like two people realizing they might be more powerful together than apart? And I actually see there being a genuine affection between them, between Ayan and Stanberry, which I really liked. I think that they're certainly better as friends than enemies. And I think that absolutely pays off for us. But I have truly no idea what is going on and what I'm about to be witnessing with Ayan and Lisa. And I also watched their scene doing whatever this new version of pickleball is, paddle instead of, is it just play tennis or just call it a day? Like what were those weird rackets? I mean, it was a little bit of a racket. I don't know what exactly that was, but I was watching their scene and they're just kind of like hanging out, having fun. And with the knowledge, or at least questions about something going on that leads to a friendship fracture, I just kind of felt like there was a little bit of Brandy Stephanie energy in their relationship. Or maybe what the network, and I guess they wanted us to believe, was like a really, really close friendship with Heather and Whitney, where they were introduced to us as like cousins and besties. And then we find out that they realized that they were cousins at like a dinner party, just having random conversation. They're like eighth cousins twice removed or something, where it wasn't like they grew up together and were family. They just found out they had family ties in common while out one night in Salt Lake. And obviously they went through something, but it wasn't, and it was, you know, a difficult kind of battle between Heather and Whitney. But to me, it wasn't as distressing as, for example, Brandy and Stephanie on Dallas, because they felt to me like, well, they were genuinely very, very close friends who went on the show. And then, if I'm remembering correctly, there, I think it was like the last season or the second to last of their season of Dallas. It was, there was some fight over, I think it was Brandy was upset at Stephanie for writing a blog maybe for Bravo. And that was back when the cast members were contractually obligated to write or have someone ghostwrite their sort of blog recaps of episodes. And that was, P.S., a very dark time in Bravo, because there was a period of time where there was a comment section that was allowed on the Bravo website. So if you think Instagram is bad, Lord help us, the dedicated comment section of cast member blogs over specific episode dramas were, that was an intense communal experience that I tried to hide from as much as possible. So I remember Stephanie and Brandy having a fallout and it being connected to the show in some way, but I assume also related to the stresses of doing the show. Like, you know, you would think best case scenario, I have my friend with me. We are coming onto the show and we're able to do this together and we can support each other. That's all fine and good. Or I met someone through doing the show, this member of the cast, and she's become like a sister to me, a best friend. We're really in it together. I mean, a lesser example, honestly, is probably Bethany and Carol. I actually wouldn't even put LVP and Kyle in this specific camp, just based on the circumstances of the like best friendship and fallout. Because I think LVP and Kyle, there was a little bit more, this isn't meant to be an insult, but like a little bit more strategy there where it was like, yeah, they're good friends, but there's, it's a little bit more of a colleague style bestie friendship than it really, really, really getting super personal. And so with Ayan and Lisa, I just kind of thought, you know, there's some Brandy Stephanie energy here. There's going to be some sort of fallout and it feels like it's going to be absolutely related to the show. I don't know if it's jealousy over Ayan being close to Stanberry. It could be something totally unrelated to that, but I think it's going to be painful for both of them in a way that it might be tough to watch. I really don't know what's going to happen at this point, but it feels like it's going to become incredibly intense, and I'm sorry to see it. I really genuinely am. I'm trying to think of other moments from the episode that I found interesting. I'm into Talene. I don't know what more we're going to get there. I have heard whispers or roundabout ways of stuff that's happening on the over the course of the season, like Talene and Brooks fallout. I've certainly heard that Brooks has a terrible season. Love to hear it. And I assume that some of that is her becoming potentially undone because I assume she, you know, recommended Talene to join the show. They've been friends for several years. It was Talene's first fellow American expat that she met in Dubai after moving and finding herself really isolated and alone, moving with her husband, but like removed from all of her family and friends back in the States. I'm sure many back in LA. And so obviously there is a sense there of deep kind of historic friendship, but it's very easy to be friends when you're not on a reality TV show where the basis of the show is like foundational on wrenches and conflict and maybe conflict resolution, but also maybe not. So with Talene, I just feel like I love her voice, just the tone of her voice or something about it that I find. I could just like listen to her for days. Couldn't tell you why. I just kind of love it. And she feels like, to me, like she can really, really handle a joke. She understood the Caroline Stanberry stuff. She played it off. She circled back. She understands what's going on here with her job. But it feels like she fits in with the group. And I don't know from Brooks's perspective if that is something that Brooks can tolerate. Because if I was Brooks and I introduced this person to the circle, listen, it's much easier to be casual or even good friends when no one is questioning that friendship. And it's very, very easy on Housewives for that immediate instinctive jealousy to kick in. And while I assume Brooks wanted her to be on the show, I don't know. I wouldn't say it's like a Teresa Melissa energy of like, this stuff is mine. It really can't be yours. But maybe there's a feeling of I introduced you, so you need to always back me and be on my side. And if I feel like you're heading into a breakout territory and I don't know that I can handle it, you're going to see me spin out.
My life right now is so busy. I mean, have you been watching Orange County this season? If I was a Shan Stan before, imagine what my day is like now. It does not leave a lot of time to, God forbid, make a meal from scratch. That's why I am so thankful for Cook Unity. Cook Unity helps with a variety of restaurant quality food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door straight to the office, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Indian food brings me so much joy. It's one of my favorite things to eat. So thank goodness for Cook Unity because I was able to enjoy chana masala thanks to Chef Lena. My favorite legume, as many of you know, is a beloved chickpea. So there is no better dish. Indian spices, chickpeas, sauteed cabbage and kale, coconut basmati rice, and even a vegan yogurt with fresh herbs. There's no cleanup or meal planning. Browse the menu by protein, chef, cuisine, or dietary need. You're sure to find food you'll love. Take a load off and let Cook Unity handle dinner. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered to your door. Go to cookunity.com/andyscrolls or enter code andyscrolls before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code andyscrolls or going to cookunity.com/andyscrolls. Ever feel like you're too busy watching a beloved Bravo marathon to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. Like spicy chicken tinga tacos with black beans and pico de gallo, which I got to make and enjoy this week. I was able to swap in a vegan substitute for the chicken and had one of those dishes I will remember. Unlike Padmalakshmi, I am not a top chef. Sunbasket is so easy. It comes with super easy to follow directions. And if I can do it and love doing it in the people's kitchen, so can you. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how your clean eating can change the way you feel. And Sunbasket can fit my lifestyle and many more, including Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more. And as I did, it's super easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. I don't feel constricted by looking at vegan or vegetarian only. Sunbasket makes it possible to eat your best your way. You can swap red meat for chicken or turkey, or like me, swap in a vegan protein. Plus, Sunbasket offers pre-made meals, delicious single-serving meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes, which is just around a commercial break from RHOC. There's something for every health journey, mine included, and every busy lifestyle. It's easy to use Sunbasket to achieve your kind of healthy. Go to sunbasket.com/andyscrolls today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/andyscrolls to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the office. And then there are the small moments, the slow morning spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year and in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code ANDYSCRLS through December 31.
I was a little surprised about Caroline Brooks. I mean, seeming like she had turtle timed a little too much before filming started. It did not seem like she was in control of herself. The women were referencing it. She was slurring a little bit. She excused herself. And I actually thought at one point, like, she's been gone for a minute. I think she needed to hydrate, get those electrolytes in. It feels to me like she maybe doesn't know what her place is on the show anymore. Added to that, a high level of ego that I think she probably always has, and some semblance here of, I don't know if it's potentially jealousy that will creep in about Talene, or bitterness, frustration that she feels like Talene hasn't paid her back for inviting her on the show. Or maybe, God forbid, this is your thing and you have someone on who you've known in your personal life and they seem to be rising to the top. Maybe they're connecting more with, quote unquote, your cast than you did. That to me is kind of a little bit of a fascinating dynamic. I assume Brooks is just going to spiral. She also isn't the most, she's not like the friendliest personality. If she was to choose a margarita, I assume it would be prickly pear. And that's all fine and good. But if I was in a space with her where I was filming for long periods of time, that would annoy me. It's like those people at a cocktail party where they just come in the door asking if you saw the car that they drove up in. Like, I need to show you how much money I have. I need to show you how fabulous I am. And a part of that is maybe passing some element of judgment on everyone else. I would assume it comes from some level of insecurity, but at the end of the day, that's on her, you know, because whatever she's going through is not an excuse for how she might potentially act. And also, this whole thing with the spa, just between us chickens, what the fuck is going on there? She had an idea for a salon and now she has one and it looks beautiful. She's talking about how, like, the who's who of Dubai showed up for her grand opening and then only names two of her co-stars and truly nobody else, which I thought was fascinating. And that's where we are. I don't know. She's bringing to the table an awful lot of, could I say brattiness? I don't know. Just an interesting, Brooks is an interesting type of housewife. She might not be long for this world, but she's going to make an impression before she fully spirals out. There's something cooking there, and I don't entirely know what. I mean, you could make the argument that being unlikable to the audience is not, it can be a benefit to someone's longevity, but that's only if you can withstand the pressure cooker that is being in this universe, let alone dealing with the pressure that can come to you from, like, cast response. And I don't know that Brooks can really tolerate it. I just don't know. She often, like, goes back into this kind of snide persona, and it's just not really fun for anyone. And also, while I, again, don't, I'm sure that she and Talene have been really close, if this is kind of like your party friend and you haven't necessarily, it's great that Talene calls her if you need to be picked up at 2:30 in the morning and Brooks is always there for you. That's all fine and good. Like, that's great to have a friend who's dependable, but I don't know that you guys have necessarily ever needed to fight. Now you're in a circumstance where you might be vying and competing with each other for maybe the friendships with the rest of the cast. She does not seem to be someone that can handle competition well. Maybe competition with herself when it's like, I think wasn't she originally like a real estate agent or investor or something? If she's like constantly competing with herself of selling the next property or, you know, doing the next business deal, that might lead to success financially, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's a great strategy or formula for personal relationships. So I don't know how this is necessarily going to end for her and Talene. I guess none of us do because the season hasn't technically ended, but I don't know how this is going to go for Brooks and staying on the show in the future, but also LOL at me thinking that Dubai is going to get a season three. They might. I don't know what the show's relationship with Dubai actually is in the UAE. I don't know what kind of deal they have, but they have to have a massive one because this show is not inexpensive to film. It is a ton of fucking money and it hasn't broken out in a way that would lead a person to like argue, let's keep underwriting this very, very expensive cost when we're not getting viewership from it, or maybe even like enough online conversation about it. The content isn't necessarily matching up with the cost of creating the content. I genuinely think there has to be. It's to me unimaginable for them to decide to shoot in Dubai and not have some sort of massive deal or arrangement. And they also spent a ton of fucking money marketing season one. I don't know what they did for season two because I wasn't paying a terrible amount of attention to it, but there has to be some sort of arrangement or agreement that they have that would allow them to be able to like truly afford doing this kind of show. Because there have been great shows that have been canceled, I assume because the network decided they just didn't have an interest or budget for a much smaller show because it wasn't delivering in audience numbers. And then I look at Dubai and I'm like, well, this shit is fucking expensive AF. Like, that has to be more expensive to film if you don't have a concession, way, way, way more than New York, for example, or NJ financially, not emotionally. The emotional cost, I would think, of working on the production of New Jersey, may its memory be a blessing, has to be enormous. But the actual financial cost is a question mark for me. Also, I don't know what's going to happen with Caroline and Sergio, but we're really talking about having kids. That's really a thing that we both want that to happen. Okay. Also, you've been living with your friend. So they're working on their new house. I have so many questions about Caroline's money. I know her family has bajillions, but also that does not answer to me the way that she spends money in Dubai. I mean, she is spending cash quickly. Everything that she does is like private jet to Fantasy Island to private jet to other Fantasy Island. And I love Stanbury, but I do wish we had a little bit more information there. And if I'm remembering correctly, which I absolutely might not be, she said on maybe at the season one reunion, something along the lines of like content creation. I do a lot of ads, which is all fine and good. I'm sure she's making a decent living from that, more than a decent living. And I'm sure she might be getting deals to go on some of these trips. And good for her, by the way. Genuinely, that's incredible. But also all this other stuff, we're talking about like millions upon millions upon millions. I would be curious where that money is coming from. Also, since she got married to Sergio, I assume if she had like monthly alimony payments, that's no longer happening from her ex-husband. So what the money deal is a question mark that may or may not be answered. But the fact that they are trying to have kids or are going to be trying to have kids, I found surprising. Also, Sergio just to me just genuinely feels young and maybe relatively emotionally immature. He's obviously devoted to his wife, which is wonderful, but I don't know how much of this dynamic, I could see us getting tired of that fairly quickly. So I don't know how they like it this much, unless maybe they do. Maybe this is just the kind of like relationship role play that works for them, regardless of whether they tell us, whether Caroline tells us it doesn't. But you're working on your new bajillion-dollar house and you think you're going to stay with your friend for 2 weeks and you've been there for 12? Are you fucking kidding me? If I was Caroline's friend Michael, I would be like, you must go now. Like we haven't seen, again, only on episode one, we haven't seen where he is. I'm hopeful for him it's some sort of like villa with wings so that it's not Three's Company. Also, Caroline Stanbury has a, you know, a certain level of living that she has grown accustomed to. So it has to be fabulous. But that's a long fucking time to be living with your good friend and her husband, unless he's not there. Maybe he's not there and they're just kind of house sitting for him. But do you think of Caroline Stanbury as a house sitter? I do not. And also, this whole Beyonce thing is the VIP, the question of whether or not the VIP seats were better than VIP, because VIP, you're closer to the stage. VVIP, you're with Kendall Jenner. I think both are VIP in the sense that they're both great. If you want to have access to Kendall Jenner and learn how to incorrectly cut a cucumber, you could hang in an area that I guess was maybe more cordoned off, but also much, much farther back from the stage. Or it depends on what you're there for. Are you there to be seen or are you there to see Beyonce? If you're there to be seen, then sure, go with the Kardashian Jenner gal. And I mean, I watch the Kardashians. I know who Kendall is. Go with KJ. Go hang with Kendall. It's not really about the concert. It's about watching the concert with your new friend, Kendall J, who certainly did not sign a release for the show. So if you've forgotten what she looked like, you're not going to get a reminder because her face is pixelated out. But if you're there to see Beyonce and watch her perform, I would absolutely prefer to be directly next to the stage, getting wet, I guess, from like water something or other, because you're truly like a couple feet away from her. That to me is a much, much, much more exciting experience than asking Kendall how her day is going. But also, that is also a, you know, exclusive opportunity. It just kind of depends on what you would consider the most prestigious way to enjoy this Beyonce concert. Because I would think at the end of the day, the attention is on Beyonce, who has flown to Dubai for an event that I think they said you couldn't, that was like invite only. So, but I assume they paid some kind of money. So I don't even know. I just think if I was given the choice of, would you like to go to this cordoned off area further back to hang with, you know, to me, a lesser Kardashian? I kind of think of like top three. She's not necessarily on my list, God forbid. I'm sure she'll survive that terrible information, release of info. I would rather be closer to the stage. And like, is there a fun little fight about it? Cute? I mean, no, it's not cute. It is an LOL, technically. But I also just kind of think, yeah, I'd rather be closer to the stage. But them fighting about that, yeah, sure, why not? Fight about where you're standing at a Beyonce concert. That does not cost any of us anything. And that's my favorite kind of Housewives argument, where it's like, you're arguing about the paint color on somebody's wall. You're arguing about whether or not somebody whispered to you. You're arguing about whether or not somebody was making a joke or being passive aggressive. None of that is like costing me as an audience member anything. So bring it on. I want low stakes, potentially high conflict arguing that you can move on from, I would assume, lickety split. I don't think that this is going to come up again. So watch it come up in every single episode that follows. Anyway, it was a solid premiere. It was solid. I don't have really any complaints aside from, oh my God, Sarah, you have several episodes to get through before you're caught up. I know that they have filmed the reunion here in New York City pretty recently. Was that in the last... I want to say that was like in the last week or couple weeks. So I don't know how far away we are from the reunion, but I am excited to catch up. And then I'll record these kind of like update episodes as I go through the season. And I do also have to say, I started off the episode saying, you know, I'm not a boycott kind of gal. And I, you know, normally I change your mind based on new information, decided I wanted to watch the season. If this is a little late in the game, I'm now an hour into this episode, but I do want to make clear that if, you know, you are potentially listening to this and don't want to watch Dubai, you have every right not to. If this is not for you for varying reasons, maybe some of the reasons I discussed at the beginning of the episode or something else, 100% don't watch, truly. And that applies to any Bravo show or non-Bravo show that might be recapped on this podcast social experiment. If it is not your energy or something that you might personally find triggering, absolutely, you do not need a permission slip from me not to watch that episode or listen to this podcast, but do truly what works for you. For all of the reasons that I don't participate in a boycott, you can apply all of those reasons to why you might not watch a certain show or certain episodes or want to follow certain Bravo Labs. Completely understandable. And again, you do not need my permission to do that, but you have my full approval, understanding, agreement, and support. So speaking of support, my goodness, AG Patreon, there is a new episode up now with my live reaction to the Salt Lake City trailer and a deep dive of the New York trailer-ish, although most of the focus certainly is on Salt Lake City. So you can listen to that episode up now. The AG Patreon, the number one way to support the podcast. You get exclusive bonus episodes like the one I just mentioned. And today's episode recapping, live reacting to Salt Lake and discussing what's on the horizon with New York is exclusive to the OG of the AG and people's couch tiers. So you can sign up, level up right at this very moment at patreon.com/AndyScrolls. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. Send me your satchels of gold. Send me your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns. Named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Cloran Ben Simone. Super curious. There might be some remaining thoughts in New Jersey, but certainly curious about your thoughts in Orange County. And if you have a perspective on early days Dubai, I obviously have a while to go. I would love to hear them. And maybe a decision to watch the show or not watch the show. If you want to kind of get into it, I would love to read those satchels on an upcoming Patreon episode. So as always, DM them to me on Instagram. Please include your first name and town, or you can absolutely email me a thesis at andysgirlsshow@gmail.com. And I would love to hopefully unpack it on a future Patreon app. And in the meantime, thanks to all of you for listening to this. I'm excited to catch up. I really genuinely am. Let's see where this kind of journey takes us. And I really have heard good things this season, certainly supported by the fact that Dr. Sarah and Brooks flop. That does help quite a bit in encouraging me to watch, encouraging myself to watch. I'm excited for the little journey that we're on in this little friendship circle, also known as AG. So thanks to all of you for listening to this episode, and I will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.